This is the last night of our series about a show that I watch. There goes Tim's new song right there. Oh. So Rhonda and I watched this show called The British Baking Show. And in fact, on Sunday, it was the season finale. Or they dropped it on Friday, and we watched it on Sunday. And we really enjoyed it. It used to be called The British Bake Off, and it's one of those shows where you start with 12 people every season, and then they all come on and bake stuff every week, and depending on how they do, the judges judge them, and they ask one of them to be excused. Maybe they didn't bake as well as the other contestants, and then they, you know, go down to 11 and 10, and they end up with a winner. And they bake these really good, interesting things. They are just so gifted and talented, and they just were born to bake. And some of the stuff that I would eat anything. It could be the last place baker. I would eat anything on that show. It just looks great. And they're under pressure, they have a time limit, they're competing, and they just do so well. It's really interesting. Each week, they have three rounds. The first round, they know what they're going to do, and they get a study and try it at home, and then they come to the big white tent, and they bake something, and they can prepare for it. In round two, they have no idea what they're going to do, and they just tell them, you're going to do this, and they have to, it's kind of a surprise. And then round three, it's called the showstopper, and it's when the judges really want them to do a good job. They have to use all of their talents and all of their gifts, and they have to do a good job and beat everyone, and that's the showstopper. So what we've done last 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago, including tonight, we've looked at each round and see what it can teach us. The first week, we talked about preparing, you know, getting ready for something. You know it's coming. Last week, we talked about some of the surprises we have in life. And can I just say something about last week? I really appreciated Ray and Mike and Adam, all of the pastors up here on stage and kind of talking about things in their life and really opening up and telling us some good things, and I could have listened to those guys for a couple more hours. That time just flew by, and I really appreciated them and what they had to say about things in life that kind of come at us unexpectedly. They talked about some good things. They talked about big opportunities. They talked about some very hard things and sad things and things that we all go through, right? We all have good things happen to us, and we have surprising things, or maybe we're faced with an opportunity, and then maybe we have some sad things or kind of hard things. And I really got a lot of good advice last week, and I hope you did as well. Well, tonight we're at week three, and we're going to talk about doing our best, especially as believers, how to do our best and use all of our gifts and our talents and abilities and time and all of our resources to really do a good job, and why I think that's important. It's a pretty simple point we're going to make tonight, but I think it's an important point, and that is simply to do a good job. I think Christians really ought to work hard and do a good job. It's important. When you go to work, do a good job. When you're at home, at church, everywhere you are, anywhere you go, do a good job. Work hard. Make whoever you're working for glad they hire you. Make your boss glad that your boss hired you. Work hard. Do a good job. Make them proud of you. There are lots of reasons that especially Christians should do a good job. One reason is just the way God made us. I think He made our bodies to work the best when we're working hard. It helps relieve stress. It helps things and work better. You know, it helps your heart. If you're out walking a lot, it helps your heart and just it. I think God made our bodies, a lot of our systems, our muscular system, to work better if we work hard. I think that's a biblical principle. We feel better. We're just not as stressed. But things go worse, maybe not for you, but they do for me. When I start to lay around, things don't go as well, right? I get lazy. Like when I rest, things start catching up with me. Things in life just kind of creep up on me if I take a break. And I know that, I like to take a nap as much as some of you. And some of you are probably taking a nap right now. You know, I can't stop you from doing that. But I can't nap too long because my mind starts racing about all the stuff that I'm missing, everything I could be doing. It is hard for me to just rest and relax and step away from whatever I'm doing. I think, oh, I could be doing this. I'm just gonna do that. I guess I'm high strung, and I know I have issues like that, and I'm working on them, but I really do believe that God wants us to work hard and do a good job. Okay, let's go to one of my favorite stories. It's short, but one of my favorite ones. It's in the book of 2 Samuel 23. Now, David had a group of followers, and his followers were called David's Mighty Men. And so I'd like to read 2 Samuel 23. Do we have a slide for that? Here we go. And so what Samuel wrote these books, and what Samuel's doing, he's going through this list of mighty men, and he starts talking about them, and he gets to a guy here. It's Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite. Now, I never knew if that was Dodo or Dudu. Either one kind of sounds funny. I'm going to call him Dodo. If I get to heaven someday and a guy named Dudu is mad at me for mispronouncing his name, I'm just going to say, look, man, I did my best, okay? I did my best with that. Eleazar was the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, Eleazar arose, and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. So here's this guy, Eleazar, and he had an opportunity to do battle sword to sword with a Philistine. Now, if you remember the Philistines, they started to show up in the book of Judges. They were enemies of Samson. And it's a short story, but I think it's a really good story. And if you're reading too fast in your Bible, you might miss this. It's only two verses long. But Eleazar, son of Dodo, was one of David's mighty men. He was a great warrior, and he was in this battle, taking, you know, doing hand-to-hand conflict with the Philistine. And it says that he worked so hard. He put in so much effort. That at the end of the battle, after it was over, he couldn't let go of his sword. That's what it says. It says his hand clave into the sword. He couldn't let it go. In other words, his muscles had contracted and his hand, it just kind of clenched around it, and he maybe wanted to drop it, but he worked so hard, put in so much effort and so long and did such a good job, he couldn't drop it. He couldn't drop the sword. It just became part of his hand. I think that's a fantastic story. Now, that's how we ought to do our work, whatever it is. Work long and hard, like Eleazar. Work for the Lord. Work with diligence and focus. And when it comes time to lay down the sword after you're done, you just can't. It's part of you. Whatever tool you use is just part of you. That's how much effort I think we ought to put into any opportunity we have. God made us so life will generally go better the harder we work. There's a payoff. There's a reward for just good, honest work. That I think that's a biblical principle. Now, I know you can actually put too much work into something. You can get so caught up at work that you begin to lose more important parts of your life, your church life, your family life, your exercise life. So you can put in too much time at your job and get out of balance. And you ever hear the word workaholic? You ever hear that word workaholic? You want to, yep, sometimes mine too. But if we were honest, most of us in here could probably work a little harder, amen? We probably could do a little bit better job if we really, really wanted to. Now, the Bible talks a lot about working hard. What I'd like to do is just read a couple verses here, and then we will be done. Look at Ecclesiastes. Look at Ecclesiastes 9. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Now, what Solomon's saying here is kind of what we've said. In life, you have lots of opportunities, lots of areas of your life. You have so many different areas of life. And whatever opportunity is there, whatever comes your way, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it as hard as you can, as strong as you can, as well as you can. Don't do it soft. Because, he says, there is no work or device nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So what he's saying is, hey, life is short. We only have a short time called life. And someday we will be on the other side of this life, and that's called eternity. So what he's saying is, the opportunities we have in this short space called life, use those, take those. Be able to be when you're at the end of your life, you look back and don't have any regrets about how hard you did something or how much intensity you put into something. Because life is short, so make the most out of the opportunities that you have now. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Don't do it halfway. Do it well. Do it as hard as you can. Take pride in what you do. Don't take a shortcut. Do a good job. Be able to look back and say, I did a good job with that. Serve your company well. You know, I watch a lot of sports on TV, especially football and hockey, and I think of professional athletes. And I know sometimes they get on Twitter and they get, you know, on TV, and sometimes they don't set the best example for kids who really look up for it. And I wish they always did. I wish the most famous professional athletes always set a good example. But it is hard to handle. I'm not making an excuse, but it's hard to handle success. And I know a lot of young, impressionable people look up to athletes, and when they make a big mistake, it's just kind of a bad deal. But I do think there is something you can learn from professional athletes, especially the really elite ones. If you think of a sport like basketball, and we all made a list of the 10 best basketball players ever, the really good ones that we've ever seen, I bet most of the people on our lists have two things in common. And that has got them to the top of their sport. Now, just think, the best at their sport, maybe one of the best 10 who's ever played their sport, they have one of two things in common. First of all, they have a natural gift for that sport. They have a natural God-given ability for that sport. You can't be a top 10 in a sport without a gift. Just it kind of comes easy for you. You have a natural gift. I mean, take hockey. It's hard to skate. Not everyone can do it. I could really practice and work hard and go to camps. I still wouldn't be one of the top 10 players ever in hockey. I had no chance. I just do not have that gift. So that's the first thing. You've got to have a gift. But there's a second thing you've got to have, and that is you have to have a strong work ethic. You've got to work hard. You think of the 10 best or 5 best basketball players ever, those people worked hard. Yes, they had a gift, but they still really worked hard. I think of people who do not have natural gifts, and some of them are very respectable players. It is impressive for them to work hard despite not being as naturally gifted as someone else. And those are always great stories. You think of Rudy, you know, someone who didn't have a lot of talent or a lot of size, and he still, you know, made some great plays in a football game because he just worked so hard. Those are great stories. But you know a sad story? It's when someone is very gifted and they just kind of coast and don't use their gifts and just kind of are lazy with it, and they just only do enough to get by. Hey, you probably know people like that, right? From early in age, it seemed like they could do anything. Everything came easily, whether that's a classroom or some musical thing or sport, and they didn't really use their gift as well as they could have, and they just maybe all it came easy, and they just kind of used those opportunities to rest and depended on their giftedness instead of working hard. Everyone has some gift. They have some special talent. And as we close here, what I want to encourage you to do is use that gift you have as well as you can, as hard as you can, as strong as you can, as long as you can. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your strength and work hard. You know, it's like that. It's like that last segment of that show I watched. They are up against other gifted people, and they just can't. They can't just do a halfway job. They've got to do as hard as they can in order to come out on top. And I think of Eleazar and that sword. He had to go as long and hard as he can because he was facing someone a lot bigger than he was. And at the end of that battle, he worked so hard he couldn't even let go of his sword. He wanted to, but he couldn't let it go because his hands clenched around it and it became part of him. Don't rest because you don't have to try as hard. If you have gifts, try harder. Work harder with those. And it would be amazing what God could do through you. So be like Eleazar. Grab your gift. Use it so much, so hard, so many times. It becomes part of you. At the end of the day, or at the end of the year, or the end of your life, you can look back and say, you know, my gift, it became part of me, and I have used what God gave me to use. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for just the simple stories in the Bible that encourage us to do a good job and use our gift that you gave us to do something in your kingdom. We ask, Lord, that you would give us opportunities to be useful, and we would and use our gifts, and we would see those and step into those doors and be an impact in the lives of the people around us. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, that's all. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. We're going to come back next week and start talking about Christmas colors, the different colors of Christmas. Have a great week. See you next time at the Esquire.